I see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings and welcome to Walking in Faith. We are heading into the 22nd week in Ordinary Time, and this week we proclaim, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I cry to you all the day long. O Lord, you are good and forgiving, full of mercy to all who call to you." Our prayer this week, God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Coming up in our show this week, we're going to be speaking with Bishop Timothy Sr. He is the rector at the seminary here at St. Charles Borromeo in Philadelphia. He's going to be talking about back to school, the numbers of the seminarians. We're also going to catch up with Tucker Brown, the seminarian who organized the Ride for Vocations. And he's going to give us a recap on what happened during that ride. Also, we'll hear from a few of the other seminarians and helpers who assisted in that effort, so stay tuned. But right now, we'll get started with prayer. Lifting up our hearts in prayer, we call upon the name of God. As we now turn to the Father, we pray for the renewal of the church and an even greater commitment to Jesus, the bridegroom. We pray that those in civil authority will dedicate themselves to justice, peace, authentic freedom, and the generous defense of the poor. We pray for the blessing on all students and teachers as they begin a new school year. We pray that politicians, scientists, and economists work together to protect the world's seas and oceans. And that is the Holy Father's prayer intention. We also pray for the unemployed and all who are in financial difficulty. We pray for the grace this week to grow in humility and charity. Loving Father, you are our help. Your kindness is a greater good than life. May we bless you in our daily lives, always calling upon your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just wanted to mention right now, this weekend and next weekend, there'll be the Polish-American Festival at Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. Last Sunday, we were able to attend the coronation of the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa. And that is where Archbishop Charles Chaput and Archbishop Wenski of Miami concelebrated the Mass and officially crowned the portrait of Our Lady of Częstochowa. So now when you go to the shrine, you will no longer just see Our Blessed Mother and her son. You will see both of those images crowned with a 18-karat crown that was crafted in Italy. In fact, the artisan's son came over and gave a big description of how influenced his father was in making the crown for the image. So it was a very blessed day. There were so many people there. I mean, the parking was overflowing into the public streets, and that parking lot is huge. And people were crowded throughout the aisles of the church. It was completely packed, which is a great showing and outpouring of love for our Blessed Mother and for that beautiful image. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Bishop Timothy Sr. talking about the numbers and the new men coming to the seminary at St. Charles Borromeo this fall. Stay tuned.
You are priest forever. Line of Melchizedek, consecrated to the service of the Lord, to sit at his right hand. You are a priest forever in the light of Melchizedek. In persona Christi ad majorem Dei gloria, totus tuus amen. to love your mother, who intercedes on your behalf. In the arms of your father, who holds you in the palm of his hand. Servant, your Holy Spirit from above, the grace and power of your priesthood, and your unfailing love. May the anointing of the Lord be upon your bride.
Welcome back. Joining us right now is Bishop Timothy Sr. He's the rector at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. Welcome, Bishop.
Oh, thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, I guess it's been a busier week than you've been used to in the last doldrums of summer. The seminarians have moved back. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the seminarians began to return actually last weekend, and the opening day was officially on Tuesday, and St. Charles welcomed the back and welcome some new seminarians. We have our total enrollment this year is 165 seminarians, 44 of whom are new to St. Charles, and most of that 44 would be new to seminary formation in general. So our student population comes from 12 dioceses, mainly in the Mid-Atlantic region, but we have a few seminarians from other countries who are studying here in formation to return to their own countries. We have, this year we're welcoming two seminarians from Ghana, and we have had two seminarians from Bangladesh and also from Sri Lanka. But most of our seminarians do come from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We have 75 men from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and then in the Mid-Atlantic region, as I say, But we're just delighted to the enthusiasm, the energy of these young men continuing or beginning seminary formation is always inspiring, and it's a reminder of God's providence. The Holy Spirit is certainly alive and well and active in the church, and these young men give testimony to that. So it's been a very, very joyful and energized week here at St. Charles.
Bishop, that also speaks to our sort of international renown as a seminary. If people from other countries are sending their young men to be formated here.
Well, yes, we do have a wonderful reputation over many, many years. You know, St. Charles is 187 years old. We're one of the oldest seminaries in the country. But it is a hallmark of our program to have a strong academic program in both philosophy and theology and in the humanities. And I'm very proud of that. And that's been certainly growing stronger with our faculty. We just have an outstanding group of priests and laymen and women and religious who carry on this ministry for the academic formation. So I think we're known also for our, obviously, fidelity to the magisterium in that regard, and really walking very closely with the vision of the church for the understanding of priestly ministry and the priesthood. But I think we've really worked to dramatically strengthen our pastoral formation here at St. Charles, giving the men the pastoral skills that they will need to be effective in ministry, as well as their human formation, their growth and maturity as men, whether they become priests or not. That human formation, the interpersonal skills, the communication, the forming relationships, healthy relationships, this is a sort of primary. And finally, what underlies it all, spiritual formation.
Yeah.
Most notably with that, we've drawn from other dioceses in the United States that previously had not sent to St. Charles, or hadn't in a long time, because of our spiritual year program. We have a whole year dedicated to spiritual and human formation. The spiritual year has 21 young men in that this year. So, yes, I believe we're getting some good attention, as we always have, but we just appreciate the confidence that our bishops and the major superiors of the religious congregations who have seminarians here as well, that they have in our program.
Yeah, I've met a few seminarians who've talked to me about their spiritual year and how life-changing it was. One was working with the homeless in the Bronx, others doing various things. I think it's really, really important for them to have that spiritual year and ground themselves not only in their school teaching, but actually in their work as charitable men in the world.
Yes, absolutely. It's the for most of the men in the program this year, it's their first year in seminary. Several years ago, Pope Francis, through the Congregation for the Clergy, issued new directives for the Universal Church for seminary formation, further refinement of what had already been done by Pope John Paul II, particularly with his Pastores Dabo Vobis in the early 1990s, I Will Give Them Shepherds. And Pope Francis actually put that together, and we call it the Ratio Fundamentalis. And in that, something that had been certainly supportive and really the spark was brought forth by Pope John Paul II for the idea of a propedeutic year, or what it's called in the documents. But it's really like a year of transition for a young man who's coming from our culture and varied backgrounds to really spend a year, first of all, beginning spiritual formation in intense discernment. So before you start all the rigors of tests and other obligations, you take a year aside and try to find some silence, number one. Mm. A strong fraternity develops between the men in the program, and they can focus on their prayer and the support for one another, and what is really essential in their life, first and foremost, as disciples of Jesus Christ. I say to the seminarians all the time, you got to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, and all in the desire for holiness and growth in life before you can discern a vocation of the priesthood. That's primary for all of us,
right.
All of us, of course. If you try to put the goal of priesthood ahead of discipleship, you're really making a big mistake. Discipleship has to come first, and the commitment to holiness. So the spiritual year, or the propedeutic year, as it's referred to in the documents, is a way of kind of putting that goal as primary.
And Bishop, we read in the news about certain priests who have sort of betrayed their ministry. Is there a sense now that we also need, because of the way that the church is structured now, most men living by themselves in rectories, surrounded largely by a staff of women, is there a need for an outreach in terms of how to better combat some of the temptations they might find once they're out in practice and living solitary lives?
Well, I don't think that's unique to this era. I think it's always been true. How do you live faithful priesthood as a chaste celibate man? You certainly don't do that alone. First and foremost, in your relationship with Jesus Christ, are you, again, that idea, am I a committed disciple of Jesus, and what does that require of me? But you do need, as all Christians need, the support of a community that's going to build them up and encourage them, hold them accountable as well. And I think that priests who very tragically have gone off the rails and have, in very, very scandalous ways, have really drifted away, in most cases, from those two core areas of accountability. It can happen to anyone.
Yes.
But the betrayal that has been certainly experienced by many people because of the failures of our leaders is priests and bishops as well. You know, is really what's at the core of that. It's not giving that priority of really my relationship with Jesus Christ at the center of my life, and then holding myself accountable and being open to the support and the accountability that others bring me. So, you know, you start to lose contact. You drift away from prayer. You drift away from those other supports that are essential.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just good things. They're essential,
right,
if you're going to live a Christian life. And that's true for all of us, again.
I agree. Yes, absolutely.
It's extremely important, because a priest doesn't have that regular accountability that a wife and family brings. But we also know that can happen in families too.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're right, and helping the men to be able to keep those support structures in place is one of the things we do in human formation, particularly. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you regularly have a spiritual director, that even after you get ordained, that's not something that stops it at ordination. You got to stay in spiritual direction. You've got to reach out to the kind of supports that from time to time we all need, whether it be through counseling or some other kind of emotional support. Live a balanced life, you know, have good friends, keep your family in the picture, of course, always. And, that sort of holds a man in place in the priesthood. And if it starts to fall apart, he's vulnerable.
Yeah, it's funny, and that's a timeless advice, because I was reading a biography of John Neumann, and they were so busy at the start of the founding of our country, going hither and yon, that their spiritual director had to keep reminding them, you have to stay grounded in your prayer life, or it's all for naught. All the charity you run around doing and all the good things that you're doing are lost if you're not keeping yourself grounded in that spiritual life. So again, great wisdom.
As Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches.
Yes.
Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Beautiful. Well, let's just quickly talk about the numbers, Bishop. Are these numbers higher or lower, pretty much maintaining what we've been doing in years past?
Well, our numbers for Philadelphia have increased. We have 80 young men now studying for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, 75 of whom are at St. Charles. That's a very strong number. The total enrollment of St. Charles is down slightly from last year, but it's been in that range for the last several years. So it's, you know, we have ebbs and flows and ups and downs, we're probably the second or third largest seminary in terms of total enrollment in the United States. So our enrollment is very strong, and of course it's never about numbers.
No,
you know?
It's not.
I'd be quick to say that not only are the numbers, but they are really very, very, very impressive young men, and deeply committed, and it's just a great grace to work with them. So, the seminary formation is very intensive and staff intensive. So you start to think about, getting numbers that are, people used to say, people say, how many did seminarians at St. Charles have at its height? And I'll say, our enrollment this year is 165. And they look at me like, well, what did it have at its height? And I always say, we're at its height right now. This is the present moment. Yeah. This is where the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah.
And I do believe that. I believe that the program is very, very strong right now. And part of the reason is because we do have the staff that are prepared, that are trained, that are focused, that are fully engaged, that are to work with the men in all aspects of their life. If you start to get to the days when you had hundreds of seminarians in formation at St. Charles, you couldn't possibly staff that today
right,
the way it
right,
needs to be
right.
to provide the kind of support, the emotional support, the spiritual support that men need. It's not to say they didn't need it then, but they certainly, we know now that discernment for the priesthood is a very, very intensive process and one which the church rightfully so expects is going to be done very, very well. So
right.
I guess I would say, I don't know that we could be a whole lot bigger. We would be able to staff it. So.
That's right. No, I agree. And I am so impressed with the young men coming through. I mean, that Brewide County Bike for Vocations really speaks
right.
to that spirit. And of course, you have Father Stephen DeLacy, who is, putting ideas together when these young men take off. But just the idea of seeing young seminarians coming, bicycling through their parishes, I think was a great thing for people to start thinking about if they have sons that want to.
Yeah, I always say that, I love, when people ask about the seminary, the first thing I want them to do is meet seminarians.
Yeah.
Because to a person, that opportunity is just very inspiring. It's encouraging, and, people will say, well, that's really great. These young men are really very talented, they're articulate, they're gifted in so many ways, and you're struck by the fact they could be doing all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
And they are not only just choosing this, but they believe that they've been chosen. And they have a zeal for it that is energizing and really inspiring, reminding us again, as I said, the Holy Spirit's with the church. And so getting the guys out on the bikes around the Philadelphia area and getting into parishes, telling the vocation stories, it was a great idea. Actually, it was seminarians themselves that came up with the idea. And, of course, Father DeLacy jumped right on it. And he, by the way, is, you are right, rightfully said, we are so blessed in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to have Father Stephen DeLacy in this work. And I believe that his engagement, his commitment, has certainly been used by the Holy Spirit and calling forth vocations in the Archdiocese. We're really blessed.
I agree. At the Rocky theme with them setting out from St. Charles, that was great.
Yeah.
but before we let you go, Bishop, we just wanted to talk about the move that's potentially on the table or is on the table. What's the timeline for that, and how does that look?
Well, the seminary has, the property has been sold where we are, and the agreement of sale with Mainline Health allows us to remain on the property for up to 5 years and just to continue to use the seminary. So the seminary remains in full operation. So, the key, one of the number one message on this is that the seminary is not closing. This isn't a closure. We're moving. And Overbrook, where we are now, is the fourth location of St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in its 187-year history. Admittedly, we've been here for almost 150 years, so we don't move that often, but it is, so we after an extensive study process over the last several years, really 3 years ago, we our board of trustees voted not to remain on the campus. We had looked at an option of renovating part of the campus to accommodate the entire seminary, but that was deemed to be not feasible. It was very, very expensive, and our feasibility study just did not support that the funding would be there. So we moved towards selling the entire campus, and then relocating with the idea that we would do so in partnership with another university. And we studied that for a year and selected Newman University. The seminary will remain an independent entity with our accreditation, which, by the way, was renewed by two accrediting bodies last year, Middle States and the Association of Theological Schools. We've been reaccredited for 8 years, which is a great validation of the strength of our program, but we selected Newman as a viable partner for an affiliation. So we remain independent, but we'll continue to grant our degrees, and then we set about looking for land that we would be able to acquire. So we announced in May that the seminary property had been sold and that Newman's board had approved an affiliation with St. Charles once we once we get there. So they also involved in this very much are the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia, founded by St. John Newman, who have sponsored Newman University and also have land around the university, including their mother house and vacant property. So we're in dialogue with them right now to identify land which we might acquire and build a new seminary on that. So what's the time frame on this? We have 5 years. We would like to move sooner than that. We're looking more at, say, 3 more years here at the Overbrook campus, because this is just beyond us. It is 600,000 plus square feet of buildings that are in decline and have been for quite some time, and it's very, very expensive. The money that we're raising through the seminary appeals or the generosity of our benefactors is just going to a disproportionate degree into the maintenance of buildings that we do not need anymore and are really not serving the program. So it's a sad thing in the sense that this is a storied and really sacred place, and I don't want to discount that, but for the sake of the mission, we're moving. And I would say, we're not closing, we're moving, and St. Charles is alive and well. As I've mentioned, not only with our enrollment, but with the vitality of the program. And we believe that this move and the affiliation with Newman University is a good thing for our program. It's going to be good for the program, not only for the quality of the program and other opportunities that it will bring to our seminarians and students, but also for the long-term sustainability of the mission.
Right.
We're talking about a core mission of the local church, as Archbishop Chaput has so strongly articulated, the formation of the clergy. And so how do you sustain that? And it's been put at risk for too long by holding on to a campus that, as much as we love it, we can't support anymore.
I think most people will be looking, Bishop, for the beauty of what you see at St. Charles in the chapels to be replicated in where your new move will be. Is there a thought given to the architecture and perhaps the actual liturgical space that will be available for the public to see there?
Well, we're in the very early stages of that. Certainly, we would like to try to replicate some of that history. It's as all things, it's going to be limited to a certain extent by the availability of funding and the support for that. We hope to begin a capital campaign, the purpose of which is going to be to build up our endowment. The long-term sustainability of St. Charles is going to be ensured by that kind of thing. However, the aesthetical dimension is not to be discounted, and I completely agree with you, that we want to hold on to that. It may not be able to be done all at once, but over time. But it's an important element in priestly formation itself, as well as to hold on to, I would like to hold on to elements from these buildings, which, it's too early to talk yeah. about this because we're really
right,
not there yet.
Sure.
But we would want to be able to incorporate elements that would remind us of our history and have that sense of the spiritual that the buildings do evoke in us.
Yes.
So. Well, it's early in the process, we've got to live within our means, but yes, certainly, we need to dream well, too, and what do they call it, be ambitious for that kind of thing as well.
Right, exactly right. And I do think that those kind of pieces of beauty fuel donations. I think when people come at the Christmas concert and are surrounded by the beauty of the chapel and the seminarians and you playing the piano beautifully, that it does evoke a desire to want to give, not only for obviously the formation of our young men, but also just because it's a special place and a special sharing that the lay people can have with their young priests. But before we go, Bishop, can you please give us a blessing?
Certainly, I will. And blessings to all of the listeners to Holy Spirit Radio and to all of you who carry on this great ministry in the church. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Bishop, you know, I'm remiss because I didn't tell our listeners where they can go to donate to the seminary and their appeal and possibly this new building project. Maybe you have a certain amount of money that you'd like to put forward to help with the move or the new design of buildings. Where can they go
At this point, yeah. So first, you can go to support the seminary appeal at scs.org.
Okay.
Our seminary, and you can see there. There will be a link to the seminary appeal has its own website as well, but you can get to that through just going to scs.org.
Okay.
We haven't begun the capital campaign, but we're in the stage sort of again looking at how that's going to be structured. And hopefully down the road, it will include both an opportunity for potential donors to support the endowment or to support the buildings. And right now, we're planning and budgeting for the move based solely on the proceeds of the sale of the campus.
Okay.
So any dollar that is given towards the new construction would basically, in de facto, becomes a dollar for the endowment.
Yeah.
And so we haven't announced any of that yet, so it'd be premature for me to comment further on it. But right now we are still actively involved. We have a golf outing coming up on September the 30th, which is a major fundraiser for us as well. And we anticipate having an award dinner, which is a biannual event the St. Charles Borromeo Award in April. So we'll be announcing more about that in the coming months. But the golf outing, information about the golf outing is also on the website too. So right now our fundraising is oriented towards getting us through this year because all of our fundraising goes into operations.
Yeah.
It goes into maintaining this program here and filling that deficit that, again, is largely due to the campus.
Maintenance, but, yeah. But maybe if you're thinking about a donation, you can add a little more knowing that there's a transition in progress. And, boy, that would certainly help, wouldn't it, Bishop?
We do. There's talking points on there that explain where we're going and what the situation is related to the seminary appeal. So
perfect. Well, Bishop,
thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it very much.
The opportunity. God bless all that you do.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you.
Appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Check for all way to
Welcome back. Joining us right now is Tucker Brown, seminarian at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Wynnewood, and back from your biking extravaganza, Tucker. How was it?
Oh, it was just incredible. Yeah, it just exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, talk to our listeners a little bit about your route and what your idea was for doing this, and then we'll kind of recap what happened along the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the main inspiration was simply getting to know more of the diocese, you know, whether you're, you know, a seminarian from the diocese or not. You know, like me, I'm not originally from the diocese. You know, we tend to have a relatively small window into the broader diocese. But, you know, if we're one day ordained priests, you know, we're priests of the whole diocese and really should have a heart for all the people in the diocese. So this was just a way to see more of it. And so we visited 10 parishes covering 150 miles, and it's kind of hard to describe, but it's really a big kind of swath of the diocese. So that was kind of the main inspiration originally, but very quickly, very early on, a vocational dimension became part of it too, and which got, you know, Father DeLacy and Sue Mator from the vocation office involved, which really gave it a lot more strength and a lot more energy.
So I know, Tucker, before you started, there was a lot of interest in having other people that wanted to ride with you. I know myself, I had run into someone who was interested in it. What do you think that was telling you, and will it affect anything that you plan to do in the future?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely was a source of, or a sign of enthusiasm about, you know, what we were doing. And I guess a desire to sort of, you know, join in this effort, which is very, very encouraging. And we definitely had a desire to bring people into it, but we just felt that, you know, with everything that was going on in the, you know, kind of the first trip, we really didn't have time to plan it sort of, I don't know, well and safely, frankly. But I think in the future, you know, there's very much a hope that we'll do this again in the coming year. And but with all this time and experience, to be able to incorporate sort of segments of the ride where other people can join us.
Do you think there is a need out there for physical activity for men, maybe in a spiritual dimension? Like, I know that St. John Paul II used to take a lot of people on hikes, and we know Pier Giorgio Frassati. There used to be this a really common thing that Catholic people would get together and share their faith, hiking or biking. So I'm just wondering if that's something that the seminarians would think of maybe sponsoring in the future, just even like a short weekend ride where people can at least experience what it would be like to be around people who are living their faith and praying in a structured way that might be helpful to people that are even just curious about the faith or trying to delve a little more further into their own faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that would be incredible. That's definitely something I've kind of thought of. I mean, partially from just like a personal desire standpoint. Like, I love being out in the woods and doing physical outdoorsy things. And obviously, I love God and love growing closer to Him. So to be able to incorporate the two, it almost feels just so natural, because like when you're out in the woods or just otherwise doing something physical, you tend to be, I don't know, like closer to the God's like natural creation. And I think it does help you to grow closer to Him when you're sort of away from the noise and can appreciate you know, the beauty of what He's made.
The church of His creation. I know, and for many people, it's hard, like for men, I think, to often go to something in a church, whereas if you're just doing an activity, it's much more easier for them to talk about their faith and to witness other Catholic men in action in a way that's more sports-minded than it would be just to show up for, let's say, a Bible study. I mean, certainly some men do that, but I think most would rather sort of talk about their faith in a different venue.
Yeah, I think another dimension to it is, you know, with something that might be a couple of days long, where there's sort of, an activity or a goal that is not necessarily, you know, sharing your faith. Like, the goal might be, you know, hiking up a mountain or, you know, completing a certain, ride like we did with Biking for Vocations, there's something else that you're doing which sort of allows you to spend more time with the guys that you're with, and perhaps like allows you to grow closer and to become more open over time and not necessarily feel like you have to sort of share everything all at once, but you can grow deeper over time.
That's a great thought. All right, Tucker, let's talk about your actual experience. First of all, did the trip live up to your expectations? How was it different?
Yes. I mean, I think it really did exceed, sort of what I was hoping for and expecting. I mean, one of the things was just the enthusiasm of all the people that we encountered. It was a beautiful thing, to see. I think one of the dimensions was just seeing, like, being inspired by just such a wide range of people, encountering young men of sort of end of high school and being just really impressed with their faith and their maturity, seeing newly ordained priests and getting to talk to them about their first few months or maybe their first year or so of priesthood was incredibly beautiful and powerful, for us. And, likewise to see older folks in the parish, whether they be, priests or lay people, and, to almost be, to be inspired by their steadfastness and just how many people said that, they pray for seminarians, every single day. It was just very encouraging.
Yeah, that must be. And to know in the society now where priesthood is looked at with skepticism or cynicism, it's nice to have that feedback from people who are really enthusiastic about the young men coming into the priesthood.
Absolutely.
Did you also find, too, a bonding with the guys? Because when you go on World Youth Day or do any kind of thing where you're constantly together over a period of time, the ins and outs of just daily routine and the stress and strain of just kind of getting through, the end of a bike ride at the end of the day when you've done a lot of miles and then you're tired. Was there a bonding that occurred between the guys that did this ride that will stay with you forever?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it was incredible. And there definitely was an intensity to what we were doing, both from like a ministry standpoint and a physical standpoint, waking up fairly early to make sure we had time for, for personal prayer and mass, and then, generally going to bed fairly late after kind of the ministry things kind of wrapped up, and, doing that for 5 days straight, there was a sense of really having to kind of, muster up strength and courage, and also to kind of look out for one another, especially on the road, making sure we actually made it, from point A to point B each day. And so I think all of that really did help us to grow closer. One other thing was getting to know our vocation stories, as each person told them, a couple times, getting to appreciate how God was working in each of our lives.
Yeah, that must be neat. So you're seeing each other on a different level. Was there times when you felt like you wanted to quit or anybody felt like this was a little too strenuous?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely times where I was very, I think, was it the second day or the third day? I'm trying to remember. But yeah, we had these Facebook Lives. Chris Macero, I want to give a shout out to him. He basically, of the seminarians, took on almost all of the work in terms of organizing this thing. But he would do a Facebook Live in the morning to kind of tell people what we'd be up to. And then I would do a Facebook Live in the evening and, say like, okay, this is what we did. This, some of the things that happened, and tomorrow we're looking forward to this. And I think it was the third day. I just couldn't even think of what town we were in or where we were going the next day. So I was very tired, but I think all of us, we were very much encouraged about what we were doing. So even if we were tired, I don't think any of us wanted to quit.
And I know you went to Our Lady of Częstochowa. That must have been a really great experience as well. I mean, it's a beautiful area.
Gosh. Yeah. That whole morning was beautiful. So it was a Sunday morning. We started at St. Agnes Parish, which Father Delisi was very big on saying that this is the number one parish right now for fostering vocations or fostering men to go to the seminary, but we started there. They gave us this big old send-off, you know, from St. Agnes. And as we're riding, we were riding by this lake, which was just incredibly beautiful. And we start riding into the forest, and like in the forest, it was like something from Lord of the Rings. There's like this music like echoing through the trees, and we can't quite make out like what's being said, but it has this quality of like worship music to it. So like, okay, this sounds like worship, but I can't understand the words. And we're riding along, and eventually we make a right onto this path on the other side of the lake. And there's all these people that are walking, and we're like, okay, what's this about? And we see someone in the habit. I think it was a CFR. And someone said, hey, brother. And he turned around, and sure enough, it was a Franciscan. And we asked them what was going on. They told us that there was this pilgrimage to Our Lady of Częstochowa. So we ended up taking another route because they were, like, apparently 1,000 people walking in that way.
Yeah,
so
we should just describe this for our listeners, that every year in the summer, people actually travel, I think it's from St. Hedwig's in Trenton, they walk the entire weekend to Our Lady of Częstochowa. So I didn't realize, yeah, that coincided with your bike ride.
I didn't realize either. I had heard some things about it, but it was one of those things that we had definitely not planned it. But it worked out that, like, all the pilgrims were arriving at the time that we were going by, so we swung by real quick, and we didn't really stay too long. We had to get to the next parish, but yeah, we stopped by, and it was definitely very encouraging to see them, you know, on their, you know, pilgrim journey as we were, you know, on ours.
Did you feel the presence of Our Blessed Mother when you were doing this, or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We definitely, you know, asked her for her help as we were getting towards towards the end of our journey.
And did you feel like you really got to know the Bucks County, Montgomery County, Chester County areas that you were traveling through? Is it helpful to you as you go forward to sort of have geographic things in your mind of possible assignments or?
Yeah, definitely. From a sort of geographical sense, from a people sense, you know, getting to meet so many priests and pastors and you know, the people that are, you know, really doing a lot of the work in the parish. That's another thing I'd like to say. It's just like every parish, you know, welcomed us just in such an incredible way, especially with food. You know, everyone, they wanted to feed us well, you know, knowing what we were doing. So we had just like abundant and delicious food, you know, at every place that we stopped at, which was just really wonderful. I'm just really grateful for everyone that made that happen.
How were the air mattresses when you were sleeping on them?
Well, they were good for the most part. A couple of them, you know, were a little bit leaky, but not too bad. And there were actually a couple of places, St. Agnes, they have like a, basically like a little retreat house, like on their parish property, and they had beds, so we were able to sleep in beds that night. And so that was kind of a nice change.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, I just applaud your efforts, and I think we really look forward to maybe having this expanded to some degree. Maybe it's after you become a priest, or certainly every year doing it with the seminarians. But I think it's a great outreach and a great way for people who don't really get to interact with seminarians, give them a chance to really meet them and have you also meet these various people in the parishes.
Yeah, thanks again to everyone. It took so many people, you know, to make this happen, you know, not just the guys on the bikes, not even just the people in the vocation office, but so many people in like support cars, so many people praying for us, so many people at the parishes, just preparing for our arrival and putting on different events. So yeah, I'm just very grateful for everyone that we had such a tremendous success.
Yes. All right. Well, we're speaking with Tucker Brown. He is a seminarian at St. Charles Borromeo and just finished his bike ride, Riding for Vocations. Thank you so much for your time, Tucker.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me back. Thank you.
back. My name is Eric Tamney, and I'm here with Gabe Fairorth, seminary for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Gabe was our support driver for several days of this, for several legs of this trip. Gabe, how did it go? What did you think of Biking for Vocations?
It's really incredible. It was an awesome turnout. We had 8 bikers. Everybody finished. Nobody got injured.
Yeah.
And
amen. Thank God for that.
Yeah. Everything just went really well. It was impressive, all of it.
Now, you are one of the classmates of these gentlemen, your peers with these guys. What's it like seeing guys your age go out and kind of take this initiative, trying to bring the church to young men and bring Christ to those who long to encounter him?
Really inspiring. Virtually the entire thing was seminarian-led. Seminarians inspired the idea. They came up with it. They organized a lot of the logistics of it. They were the ones giving the talks, so I was so impressed that this wasn't something which they were forced to do, but that they wanted to do it. They got together, they organized it, and they did it. It's very impressive.
If you had to name one kind of big impact that this event had on you, or one response that you encountered which was particularly profound, what would that be?
Yeah, there was one thing. I remember myself as a high schooler, the priesthood and seminarians, they were very up in the clouds. It was like they went to St. Charles Seminary, which to me was like a castle, and it was all just very abstract. And
almost like hard to understand, grapple with.
Very hard to wrap my head around. And I think I saw for a lot of the young men and women who were at the parishes who participated in this event, it made the priesthood very human to see a group of 8 young men, normal, fun, kind young men, and to be able to interact with them and have conversations with them and share with them. I think it made brought it down to earth, the priesthood, and made it very human.
Well, praise God. What a blessing. Thanks so much for your service. I know it really was tremendously helpful and supportive for these guys to see their friends, right along with them the whole time, cheering them on, being there in case they needed food, water, or repairs on their bike. And at the end of the day, having a friendly face to chat with and encounter was certainly a blessing. So thanks so much for supporting this.
Yeah, have a blast.
Awesome. Well, God bless. Until next time.
And I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.